Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hello, this is Don Fluckinger from Search Health IT, and today we are talking with David Riley of the Federal Health Architecture. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I guess to kick things off, explain to our listening audience what it is that you do at the Federal Health Architecture.
Okay, so at the FHA, or Federal Health Architecture, I'm a contractor that provides program management support services, and the focus of the services that I provide is on the Connect project. I'm the Connect initiative lead. I was brought on board in June of 2007 to work with the federal agencies to formulate a go-forward strategy for connecting to the then-emerging Nationwide Health Information Network, or the NHIN. We worked with the federal agencies over that summer and came up with a four-pronged strategy, which we got approval of on October 12, 2007. And since that time frame, we've been focused on executing that strategy. And since March 18, 2008, we let the Connect software development contract, and so my team and I have been managing the Connect software project since March of 2008.
So I know that the Federal Health Architecture is all about connecting, is it seven federal agencies, right? So what does the average hospital IT leader out there in the private sector really need to know about Connect and what it does?
Well, I think it's probably important for the IT leader, whether they're at a hospital or a clinic, to realize that one of the major problems that we're trying to solve is having the right information at the right place at the time that people are making decisions about care. And that is a problem that exists whether you're in the private sector or the federal sector. So there's this kind of commonality, if you will, across all the sectors with respect to this one core problem. And that really is moving information to the point where it's needed. At the time that it's needed. And so the federal agencies, in responding to the NHIN, authorized the Connect initiative and pooled their money to create the Connect software to address this problem, to be able to move in a secure, interoperable fashion information to the point where it's being needed at the time the decisions are made when care is being rendered. And so it's important for the private sector health IT leaders to understand that the class of problem we're dealing with is not unique to the federal space. It's common across all of the sectors, and thereby they can gain, they can leverage and gain benefit from the work that's been done by the federal partners. And to that end, the federal partners have made the software available as open source, freely downloadable, and there's no licensing cost for the use of it.
So what does Connect do on a technical level? Is it fair to describe it as a sort of a software widget that turns proprietary information in proprietary EHRs into packets ready for common health information exchanges, or how do you describe it?
Well, I actually think that that's probably an okay description, what you just said. You could envision it as a software widget. It is a piece of software. It's one that sits in your organization, or it can sit in the cloud if a health service provider implements it as cloud services. The point is that you connect your existing edge system. It might be an EHR, one that you've bought or one that you've built yourself. It could be some open source EHR implementation. We have a software development kit that allows you to create an adapter which plugs your electronic health record system or practice management system into the Connect architecture and thereby enables that system to get information onto this information bus, if you will, and allow for interoperable secure health information exchange.
So are there commercial vendors who are writing sort of Connect filters that plug into their EHR applications?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there are several vendors. If you go to the www.connectopensource.org, we have a page there of vendors who are providing services and products built around Connect. And we call it our partner page. And so you can go there and see the variety of offerings that are being developed around the Connect and providing additional widgets or plugins or services for integration services, for example. There is an open source project called Mirth. They also provide a commercial release of their software. And they've done a significant amount of work on integrating the Mirth engine, which is a HL7 messaging engine or a messaging engine, in with the Connect gateway. And so they have offerings of the Connect product with their product mix that are available, and there are other vendors as well that you can access that from the website.
Excellent. So what is it that people are connecting to when they install Connect? Are they connecting to HIEs? Are you envisioning the NHIN direct sort of peer-to-peer model? Or where do you go once you are through Connect with a piece of information?
Okay, so that's actually several questions in one.
Sorry about that.
In general, the first question you ask is, what are they connecting to? Most of the times when people are using Connect, they're actually connecting to an operational health information exchange of some type. It may be a local information exchange. It may be solely within the four walls of a hospital if they're a large facility with lots of departments that need to talk to one another. It could be a regional health information exchange or a national exchange. And so we're seeing a large variety of implementations that are being done, and they're being done to connect to operational health information exchanges, however you define that. Now, with respect to NHIN Direct, as a project, it is focused on more of the direct push kind of activities between where one provider knows another provider and they've been using a fax machine, and now you want the next level up to be able to push information from one doctor's office to another or from a lab to the doctor's office or what have you. So there are a well-defined set of use cases that the NHIN Direct project is focused on. And out of that, they will decide on a standard that they want to use for exchanging that information. And since Connect is really an implementation of health information exchange standards, we anticipate that once the NHIN Direct standards are specified and the specs are stable, that we will implement those in Connect. So we see health information exchange as kind of a spectrum that runs from very simple use cases where you know everybody and the trust model is very simple and implicit, to national level exchanges on the other end where you've got formalized trust agreements in the form of data use and reciprocal support agreements, and the requirements are much more robust in terms of security and privacy or what have you. And we see Connect as providing a set of solutions that span that entire spectrum. So as NHIN Direct becomes clearer and the ambiguities are removed and we have clear direction there, we will anticipate that we'll be implementing a set of services to support those kinds of interchanges as well.
So federal health architecture obviously concerns itself with making federal agencies connect to each other. Would you say that those federal agencies have similar or the same interoperability challenges on the health IT front as private sector providers do?
Yeah, I think if you just focus on interoperability by itself, I think that they are very similar. I don't know that there's anything unique in the federal space from an interoperability perspective. Where there are differences is between the privacy and security requirements. In the private sector, the HIPAA provides the law, the Health Information Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, as amended subsequently by the HITECH Act. It provides the floor, if you will, or the foundation that everybody, both in the private and the public sector, has to adhere to with respect to privacy and security. In 2002, the Federal Information Security Management Act, or FISMA, as it's lovingly known by the federal agencies, was passed, and it raised the bar significantly with respect to security and privacy, and in particular, its focus on operational management of security and privacy controls, if you will, not just simply technical, but there are operational requirements as well. And then subsequent to that, OMB's issued a number of memoranda related to that. So the requirements for security and privacy are much more stringent, if you will, for the federal agencies to implement. So where there are differences, it's usually in the security and privacy area that is imposed on the federal agencies. But as far as interoperability or semantic interoperability, I think by and large the requirements are the same across the private and public sectors.
And are the technical challenges basically odd file types or incompatible file types or lack of adherence to standards?
Yeah, anytime there's ambiguity in a standard or optionality in a standard where there's room for interpretation or you have options to implement, that's where you end up with mismatches. So part of the whole process of coming to a consensus on defining the services and the content standards for the NHIN has been on taking the existing standards, harmonizing them, reducing the amount of ambiguity, getting rid of the optionality because optionality drives up costs. If you have three options, everybody has to support all the options, theoretically. If there's ambiguity, you have room for different interpretations. That results in mismatches. And so a lot of the hard work is reaching consensus on getting rid of optionality and reducing ambiguity. If, for whatever reason, we can't get there, there are still ways, as far as you know, removing all those things from the spec, there are still ways that we can create bridging technologies. So older systems that implemented a different set of standards, or maybe they didn't have a standard at all if it was homegrown, we still have the need to plug those systems in so they can participate. And so part of the Connect solution includes a software development kit that allows you to build adapters that provide transformation services for the data that's coming out of those systems that may not be fully compliant with the current standards and transforms that data into compliance sets so that they can participate in standard health information exchange. So that's one of the values that I think we bring to the table with the Connect solution is this ability to build these adapters that allow you to have the bridges in place, if you will, when there is this impedance mismatch between what's in the existing system and what the national standard is.
Well, if this is intriguing to a private healthcare provider out there who might be listening to this podcast, what kind of things can a private provider do with Connect, and sort of walk me through some of the pilot projects that are out there?
Okay. As far as the private provider, we kind of have a spectrum of things that they can do with Connect. If they're technically very savvy, they can actually go download the software and do the install themselves, although my experience has been that most healthcare providers who are in the business of seeing patients, that's what they want to do is see patients. They don't want to implement software. But we have a range. There are providers, companies that are providing integration services that will come in and integrate your system with Connect. Mirth is one of those companies, Harris, Vangen. There are a number that are out there on our website, and there are contact information for all of those companies out there. And so once you've done this kind of integration where you've created this adapter or there's an adapter that you can get because some work has already been done, as you said earlier, about building these adapter widgets that allow you to plug your existing system in. If you're one of the lucky ones where we've already built that, then you know it's just a simple matter of downloading that widget and plugging your system in and getting operational with Connect. Once you've done that, you have the ability to basically, if you're using the full Connect capability and not just simply the direct capabilities would allow you to push information to known providers to you and working through a health service provider or HSP. If you were on the NHIN backbone, you would be able to query for information on patients across the NHIN or directed to specific health information organizations that are out there. And then if the policies are set and the preferences of the patient are honored in terms of they're expressed and honored, then you can retrieve information about those patients. So it expands the amount of information that is available to you potentially on a given patient at the time that you're engaged in patient care. As far as projects that are out there, we've seen a range of implementations, and it seems like every month we discover something new and interesting as people call us up and say, hey, we're doing this with Connect. Did you know about it? And so some of the things that we've seen, there are hospitals, large hospitals out there that have multiple departments that have interoperability issues within their four walls, and they're using Connect to bridge hospital information systems within departments. We've seen the development of local HIEs. An example of that would be Thayer, Nebraska. There's a small community hospital there that's built an HIE using Connect, and they're moving all kinds of data back and forth on their network locally for their community. Redwood MedNet out in California has implemented Connect, and they're participating in a regional health information exchange there. We're seeing some activity on the part of state-level HIEs that are being formed, and those are mostly in the beginning stages of implementation as they stand up Connect gateways and begin to connect hospital systems or other local health information exchanges to the state. So it's a little early to tell exactly where that's going to end up, but folks are making progress there. And then we have large organizations that are reaching out across the U.S. as a part of the NHIN today, that are using Connect as well. So it runs the gamut in terms of scale. We're excited about the work that's being done with the NINDirect, and once the specs are published on that, using Connect to participate in local physician direct kind of physician-to-physician exchanges. We're looking forward to an implementation that will support that and the experience that we'll gain from that. So it's quite a variety that's out there.
Well, your team recently released Connect 3.0. What's new in the new version?
Well, generally when we go from a major number, like from 2 to 3, it means that there are significant architectural changes in the product. And in this case, that is the case. That's why we went from 2.4 to 3.0. As we've gathered requirements over the last 2 years from the federal partners, and then after we opened Connect up as an open source project a year ago at HIMSS, in HIMSS 2009, we made the announcement for the open source release of the software. We've gathered requirements from our open source community as well. And one of the major requirements is for platform independence, meaning, and again, this is depending on who you talk to, some folks wanted operating system independence. They wanted to be able to run, for example, on Linux. Others, platform independence means application server independence. We were running on GlassFish. They wanted to run it on JBoss or WebSphere or WebLogic or some of the Axis or Apache, some of those kinds of app servers. And then the third level of application or platform neutrality that was asked for was in the development environment or the IDEs. We were doing development using NetBeans, and Eclipse is a popular development environment. So over the last 3 or 4 or 6 months, we've gathered these requirements, and we started doing work to be able to support platform independence at all of these levels. And so with the release in 3.0, a lot of it is under the hood, if you will. It's not fully visible to everybody other than that now you can run on JBoss, now you can run on Windows, Solaris, and Linux. You could run on WebSphere or WebLogic. You can do development with Eclipse or NetBeans. So for the developer community, those are exciting enhancements that are not always visible to people who are end users in the hospital or clinic. With respect to new functionality, one of the major things we added was a push capability. We kind of have this privacy and security foundation that's built into Connect. And on top of that, you have discovery services and you have information exchange services. And there are three basic messaging patterns that we now support. You have the ability to pull data, which is your classic query response mechanism. You have the ability to push data. It's a directed push. And you have the ability to do publish and subscribe for information exchange. There are some additional features that we added, but fundamentally, the goal is to lay in the foundational architectural changes that will allow us to have more flexibility in terms of platforms, easier integration for new functionalities to support meaningful use and healthcare reform, NINDirect kinds of things that are coming down the pike. And so the 3.0 release puts that foundation in place, and with the 3.1 release, which will be in September, we will complete a large portion of that so that we will have the foundational transformations completed. The other aspect is our focus on the adapter. We haven't had a lot of specifications at the national level for the adapter, and we're beginning to write standard APIs based on national standards for the adapter level as well. I know that's a lot. So.
Well, it sounds like you've been busy.
Yes, sir, we have.
Well, I guess where can the techie types among our readership who want to experiment with Connect go and read about it and download information and maybe even think about the Codeathon?
Well, the source for all things Connect is www.connectopensource.org. That portal there has, from that front page, you can get to all of the forums. We have a number of forums where you can participate both as a developer or if you're an implementer. We have the download, so you can go there and get the download, all the documentation. If you want to participate in the development process, we've exposed all of our ongoing development and design documentation there. We use Scrum as a way to manage an agile software development process that's test-driven, and we're on a three-month release cycle with two-week sprints. So all of our sprint reporting activities, everything that we're working on, it's probably one of the few projects that I'm aware of that has this degree of openness and transparency to the public with respect to the project itself, what we're working on each cycle. All of that is done in public pages that are on the ConnectOpenSource.org website. So anybody who has an interest there, not just techies, but if you're a business person, we have success stories there and can link you to other folks who are developing business cases for the use of Connect. And so there's quite an opportunity to connect with this larger community of folks who are excited and implementing Connect to solve real-world business problems today.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate it, the opportunity to come and share with you what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.